La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum. I'd like to share with you today one of the short but immensely powerful Meccan surahs, and that is Surah At-Tin. As you probably know, many of the surahs in the Quran take their name from an important or a prominent mention or a noun in that surah. And this surah is called Teen, which is figs. And you need to reflect upon these early short Meccan surahs to see the multi-dimensions of them. The surah begins, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ وَالطُّورِ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ. Contemplate upon, reflect upon, by the truth that you and I and human beings know about this amazing, generous tree. Now, as you know, these ancient trees that have come to us from probably hundreds, if not more than hundreds of thousands of years, they propagate themselves, they spread out, and they can be easily propagated by taking cuttings from. There is the mulberry tree and there is the fig tree, and they are almost opposite to each other. The fig closes upon its flowers. The mulberry is all flowers and they are almost cousins. Then of course you have the wonderful other trees which have been mentioned as well in the Quran, the pomegranate and the grapes, and all of them can be propagated from cuttings. Then you have of course the great mention and the great repeated, if you like, highlighting of the date palm, and that is propagated by seeds, better than that by small babies that grow from the side of the tree. Now, date palms were spread out through many parts of the world, but not as well cultivated as you have them nowadays. You know, you find huge, big plum dates, because we human beings have been allowed by nature to add a bit more. This experience of ours is like a nursery. We have seen what is in front of us, we have an idea as to what we can improve on it or perfect it. So it is a nursery or a laboratory in which we can improve on things as an exercise of returning back to Jannah or the garden. We love the garden. The imprint of the garden is in our hearts. So this amazing short surah tells us that there is a continuity in this world. It isn't all of a sudden that in Arabia one of them, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has appeared. This is an ongoing line for thousands and thousands of years. In this particular case, at least the clear reference is to the Abrahamic line, the land of what is now Syria, Palestine, Israel, all that area, where both figs and olives were the mainstay of their, if you like, sustenance. They were beginning to develop grains. But as you all know, these fruits, they dry, you can have them during winter. As for the zaytun, the olives, it is so important in that area's diet that every way, every form of it is being used. And at the end of it, after they extract the oil, they take the pickles, they take the actual olives itself and the seeds, it becomes one of the most nutritional diets for cattle and for other animals. Nothing is ever wasted. Same thing, of course, is with the pomegranate. Every part of these trees is usable and is gives you goodness. And they're easy to keep, easy to grow, easy to dry, easy to reuse. So by the fact that we take our sustenance from these amazing gifts of nature, by the fact that people have come and gone, caravans have gone throughout these parts of the world, with Syria and Lebanon and all of that, by the fact that civilization more or less began between these lands, bracketed at one side Egypt, the other side is Mesopotamia. 6,000-7,000 years ago, this was the beginning of agricultural settlements, and from that knowledge began to grow rapidly. It's only when people are together that you find accumulated knowledge, and by that accumulated knowledge there is a speed up of civilization and quality of life. Quality of life for everyone. Sustainable goodness for everyone. So Allah Azza wa Jalla in this brilliant surah tells us, reflect upon where are you from? We are all human beings connected to each other, and we are indebted to those few who had these amazing openings to insights and to another zone of consciousness that have been revealed to them. And so we are indebted to them to that. We would not have known as well as we know about the human nature had we not been told that our basic material nature is very low, very base, forgetful, nasty, moody, changeable, unreliable, and. No less than 40 descriptions of وَالْعَصْرِ إِلَّا الْإِنسَانِ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. We are always at a loss. No matter what you're doing, even if it is the most wonderful victory, one day will come, you can't sustain it. And yet you know within yourself you want sustainable joy. You don't want to have something fleeting. That is why they have reminded us, the people of the fig and the people of the olive tree, and especially then Tur Sinin. Tur is a mountain. And of course there is the Surah At-Tur, which is number 52 in the Quran. وَالطُّورِ وَكِتَابٍ مَسْطُورٍ فِي رِقٍ مَنْشُورٍ وَالْبَيْتِ الْمَعْمُورِ. The first few ayahs of this great surah. وَالطُّورِ. By the fact that you see mountain, by the fact that you're attracted to climb, by the fact that they give you water for the rest part of the year if you can tap into the right, you know, aquifers. By the fact that in all of that area, in fact Egypt, throughout all of Egypt, there are no mountains. The only mountain there is the Tur of Sina. Tur of Sinin means the mountain in Sinai. And those mountains in Sinai are fairly high, and amongst them is the Mount of Musa, which is slightly different from the others. It's one of them, it's right there, but as though it has been more pulverized. So this ayah, this surah tells us, by the fact that these caravans have come and gone. The Prophet Ibrahim has come from southern, what is now Iraq, up to north, what is now Turkey, down to these areas and into Egypt, and back again into the middle of Palestine, where he left this world. Then his progenies, then Ismail and Ishaq and others, thousands of them. And of course the famous Israelite, Aulad Yaqub and others, the sons of Jacob. So he says, look, this is a continuation story of Adam rising and to discover his origin. And then we have the great metaphors of the Quran, that how did this Adamic consciousness rise, and that it was above angels. And then Allah says, it is I and my angels who bless you, but it is you human beings, us human beings, who degrade ourselves by fears, anxieties, meanness, lack of remembrance that we are here temporary guests returning back. So وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ, reflect upon these land of the ancient lands of Palestine, reflect upon the land of Tur Sinin, the land of religious teachings and unfoldments, and reflect upon this ethical connection throughout these thousands of years. Same teachings, that be courteous, be correct, be generous, depend on Allah. If you relate to human beings, be correct with them, but know that Allah is, at the end of the day, is the doer. He gives us energy to do. Allah at the end of the day, as He is at the beginning of the day, also the creator of these attributes that we love. the attributes of power and goodness and all of the asma al-husna. Remember at the end of the day, as at the beginning of the day, that Allah is the essence of it all. He is the beginning, He is the end, He is inside, He is outside, and wherever you look, there is a trace of Allah. So these are the teachings that have come along these hundreds and thousands of years. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. And reflect upon how human beings have been created as the culmination of creation in the best possible perfect design, with constant search for a purpose. Why are we here? Why have we been all the time put into situations of trials? Why is this constant paradox of give and take, the good and the bad? Reflect upon what is it all about? We created human beings physiologically as well as metaphorically, Allah says, in the best of potentials. And everyone has that potential because we have the ruh. Reflect upon all of the arwah are the same in essence, but the ruh gets covered up by your personality, by your experiences, by your ecology, by your environment, by the culture, by all of the other things that come along as you grow. And they give you a different worldview. It is all right to have a different worldview. It is all right to accept whatever you have grown up with. But more important than all of that, to reflect upon the light that is pure in your heart. That is why all of these teachings from the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, if not before, that we know it's from that time on, that your purpose in this life is to perfect your worship. How can you perfect your worship if you don't see perfection? How can you see perfection if the light in your heart is dimmed, is covered up by a lot of your own fantasy, anger, lust and imagination and all of the love of power for you to be the most powerful? We all love to be the most powerful because you love the all powerful. But don't be distracted. We all love He who is wealthy beyond wealth. Allah al-Ghani, He is wealth. But don't be distracted by your own wealth. Whatever comes to you, Bismillah, increase, less, you're going to leave it anyway. No matter how big, how strong, how knowledgeable you are, it's going to be left behind. What carries on? What moves on? If you in this life do not become certain about your ruh, and about its life that carries on, then you have lost the line of Watini wa Zaytun. The entire Abrahamic line is that there are two phases of life. One phase is in this life, as you and I can experience, and it is personal, and it is subjective, and it is conditioned, and it is ever-changing. And another phase comes after your death. The entire deen of Islam is based on that, that you trust in the unseen, you do your best in the seen. But the seen is a tiny little flash of the unseen. Then the other thing, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. It is not that you also have some faith in the Akhirah. You're certain that what comes later after your death is the continuation of this life, but depends on how much you have encumbered your ruh by your anxiety, by your mind, by your biography. If your ruh is not being encumbered too much by your ego, then it's easy. If it is heavily weighed down by that, then there is a need for purification, then there is a need for accounting, then there is a need for whether it is the one extreme of it, hell, or the other extreme is joy, that you have really done what you can, so there isn't much more to be done. We are told by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when death comes, you begin to experience life exactly as you, as a sum total human being, have been. So your life after death, the light of the ruh in you, will experience the sum total of your, the extent of your readiness to declare Allah is greater than anything and smilingly leave it, or smilingly stay a bit longer. But as you know, as you get older, more and more you have to, there will be high maintenance with health and everything else. But depends on your attitude. If your attitude is that you have come here to perfect the knowledge of the one and only one, then a bit longer, a bit shorter would not matter. Then at all times you have a reference that makes even the biggest turmoils in this life easy. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. That is what the أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ is. We have the map. Then the next ayah, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. Then whatever comes up will also go down. Whatever has come to life will also experience death. At the age of 30, 40, you have a very sharp mind, very clear memory. But is it the same will be when you are in your 80s? What about when you are 90s? What, you know, you go up and it goes down. Whatever comes up will also go down. Whether it is known or not known. Your strength. Usually the age of 40 is considered to be the peak. So after that it's all downhill. Nowadays, as you know, the whole world is suffering, especially in the West, from longevity. People are living in their 80s, 90s and so on. And the young people don't want to care for them anymore. So the whole society is very, very disturbed in that sense. So we go down. As you go up, you go down. In every way. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Again, the Quran is so wonderful. Gives us the map of duality. The up and the down and the good and the bad and what we like and we dislike. And then gives you the exception. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون. Exactly the same as so many other ayahs and surahs. Like والعصر, at all times human beings are at a loss. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا. So the exception is that those, it is not those who have faith. Those who are secure. أمن is security. In all of the Arab world, قوات الأمن means the security forces. You are secure that Allah has brought you, Allah will show you, and you return back to that. So what is the whole complaint about? Why are you rushing so much? You're going to die anyway. But you are rushing in order to experience more of the what you consider to be good, which is often a few more pennies. Then you don't know how to hide it. Then you don't know how to invest it. As soon as you've done it, the euro has gone down, and the burra has gone up. And all of that, and more, you end up with 9 cell phones, and your cells are dying. So this is what happens, you see. So, but that's why you have to laugh at the ego. The ego wants to be God. It wants to sit where the ruh is, where the representative of Allah is, where the light that has been given to us by Allah is. But we want to, it's all right as a kid. By the time one is in your 40s, 50s, if you have not begun to wake up to this duality in you, and that seeking the unity, which is the source of duality, then you are missing it. Now, most of us don't want to miss something special. Especially, supposing now somebody tells you there is someone distributing here outside half a kilo of gold bars. Anybody goes first, he'll get his half a kilo. I assure you, the mosque will immediately empty. Because mosque, I can come back tomorrow. But a half a kilo of gold bar, and nobody's going to account for it. Nobody knows it's in my pocket. So, instant gratification. We want instant wealth, instant power. All of it is in you. The light of the all-powerful is in you. But you and I don't access it because we are preoccupied. We're already preoccupied. The wife wants this, the house wants it. Before you know, there's maintenance of this, maintenance of that, then you lose your teeth, then you lose your walk. It's endless. One occupation brings you another occupation. Incidentally, this word is a wonderful one, which again, we Arabs have twisted it around. There are about 200-300 terms in the Quran that common language actually had twisted it to be its opposite. You know, one of which is mumtaz. And this is, occupied is one of them. Quran talks about istimar, istamaruha. Istimar in Arabic, if you talk to any of the Arabs over the last 70, 80 years, they immediately lift a placard of anti-colonialism. It has come to mean dreadful, abusive colonization. Whereas in the Quran, istimar is not that. It means you've been allowed to come and put roots in this earth And from it comes the beautiful word of i'mar, to develop, to build. But it just shows you how we have deviated from the true original Quranic Arabic. So we have been occupied by our distraction. A bit more of that. Let me do more. And then also, we are very selective. We are exceptionally clever. We select half of the story, you know, all the time. Let me get first wealthy, you see, because I have children to go to school. But before you know, the child is in a car, because you are a good father, so you bought him a sport car, and he's in an accident. Very clever. Very, very wise. It carries on and on and on, endless, because we have not practiced our true benefits of our rituals. You go into your prostration, you disappear. Then none of these things matter, as though you may not come up. And you go for Hajj, you've made your will, as though you may not come back. And so on and so forth. All of our practices are perfect reminders that we are guests in this life. Unless, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, you take security in that Allah is there. The only true reality that is ever there is Allah. You and I have borrowed a bit of that light by Allah's grace, by the parental also, often ignorance, because they didn't know how you're going to turn up. You know, they didn't know. They bumped into each other and somebody's come up. That's why, you know, we have to now go faster towards that essence, towards the inner zone of light in us. You have to have inner faith that even if it is bad, you don't like it, it's good for you. You need to not just believe, know that the governor of it all is the most just. He is Al-Adil. So what are you complaining about? It is your fault by not seeing it before, not anticipating it. Abusiveness of diet, of this or that. You did not stop any minute realizing that the air goes in, may not come out. Are you ready to leave this world cheerfully? If you enter into that zone, then many of our mistakes get neutralized. And we don't carry on repeating the same stupidity over and over and over. Why do we repeat the same mistake? Because we love that ongoingness. Wattini wa zaytun. We love to see this is the most ancient tree. Tradition. We love traditions because they have been doing it for thousands of years. In order for us to imagine that time has stopped. Because we are in time, but not off time. The ruh is not subject to space and time. It is from the infinite zone. And we love that. So in the meantime, we try to mimic it. That is why, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Then their reward, that reward is endless. غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. If you and I don't have access to an inner reward that is endless, we're always in agitation that whatever goodness you have may not last. Your health may not last. Your relationship may not last. Your family would not last. The country may not last. Nothing would last. Until you realize that within you lies that light that is beyond joy itself, that is forever. Then you realize that this is temporary and a sample of that. So you put up with it. Say, all right. It was this, now it has changed. What goes up goes down. And you realize that the entire creation is based on the balance between up and down, good and bad, living and dying or dead. So Allah reminds us in this great surah that look, all of your life, all of your traditions, all of what you have come from also, is hanging on this, but the truth of it is the most wonderful and the most brilliant. فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ. Now that you know that there is a clear path to follow, there are boundaries to accept, say, I cannot transgress this. It will do me damage, it will do my neighborhood damage, it will do humankind damage. I'm not going to be tempted. Thank you. I love me so much, I want to be protected. Thank you. If you don't have the deen, if you don't have the boundaries, if you don't have that constant reflection about it, then you will be all the time either in denial or in accusation or in blame. If you listen to people, whenever they blame somebody else, that means they have not really taken the full responsibility. Why were you there? Why were you there when the whole thing was in, you know, people were quarreling? Why weren't you in a place that the people were in calmness and peace and in goodness and reflecting upon truth? Because you deserved it. Your temptation carried you. Your ego carried you. And it's wonderful that we have this entity called Shaitan. So many of the great walis, they say, biggest gift Allah has given us is Shaitan, so we blame him. So blame him. It's wonderful. Spit at Shaitan. Because nobody wants to blame themselves. So at least blame Shaitan to begin with. And you find later on you come to realize that Shaitan made waswas in you. It whispered in you. So, فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ. How can you then deny the perfection of the path? That is why we have such a wonderful heritage through Quran and through the prophetic teaching, that Ibrahim a.s. was neither this nor that. He was a Hanifa. And the biggest description given to Ibrahim, you know, مَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. He saw only one. Look at that. And he was a Muslima. He was not Nasrani, he was not... He was in submission to the truth. Are you and I in submission to the truth? Are we submitting to the truth that the nafs is ammaratun bisu, the lower self always try to distract us? Once you admit the truth of it, then you begin to see the truth as it arises in the mind. And then we have in this wonderful deen and the description in the Quran that your mind is in between the light of the lights and the shadows of the shadows. That is why we have to be careful. The mind can give us also its own distractions. And that is why if you want wealth to become so clever, say, no, I want wealth to spend it more to produce whatever, build more mosque. Very clever, because you love money, but you now have sanctified money. You made the money, you have elevated it, you see. As though Allah needs you to do it. See, we are very clever. That is why, when asri in the insan ila fi khusr. Alayhi sallahu bi ahkam al hakimin. Isn't Allah Azza wa Jal the ultimate, perfect manifesting of justice and truth and realities? And Allah Azza wa Jal has reminded us so brilliantly in the Quran. And I did not create the jinn or the ins except to perfect their worship. How do you perfect your worship? You do what you can. You are participating in life. You're talking, you're sitting, keeping silent, you do your salat, you eat, you sleep. But all the time referring that it is by Allah's rahmah that I can do these things. And I'm accountable to Allah. So you are calibrating all the time. So this amazing surah, which describes to us these great fruits, which have been referred to elsewhere also. For example, we have this wonderful ayah of Nur, one of the greatest ayahs which is often repeated. It talks about Zaytuna, it talks about the olive tree. And then you have also the ayah regarding this wonderful tree, وَشَجَرَةٍ تَخْرُجُ مِنْ طُورِ سِينَا. طُورِ سِينَا is repeated several times in the Quran. And there is a tree that comes out from Sinai desert. تُنْبِتُ بِالدِّهْنِ. It gives you this wonderful oil. Also you can eat it. And then Ayatul Nur talks about شَجَرَةٌ مُبَارَكَةٍ زَيْتُونَ لَا شَرْقِيَّةٍ وَلَا. There becomes a metaphor of an oil that is neither of the east nor of the west. Because without metaphors, without having samples or similitudes of the unseen to which we return, we remain too earthy. And the Quran, as you know, is full of amthal. وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ. So we have this wonderful story of 4,000 years where it is hanging on the branches of these beautiful trees. But if you go into the meaning of it, it shows you the continuation of life. Life is ever continuous, and every generation has potentially greater advantage to the previous generation, but also greater risks of being distracted because of more gadgetry, more wealth, more comfort and ease, and forgetting that any day, any minute, we may leave this world. And this world is nothing other than a sample of the next world. So in that sense, it is wonderful. Otherwise, it becomes a source of sorrow,